Beloved listeners, and welcome again to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth, thrilled and delighted to be your host. Oh, yes, every week we have an intention. We set a goal, basically through prayer. Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun, inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time, with the least intrusion into their lives, so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yummy. Particularly delicious thought around this holiday season. And as we're getting ready for a new year, what a treat we have in store for us today to bring forward something absolutely delicious. And before we get to that, just wanted to remind you, our show is brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com, the home of the Comfort Technology, a plug-in device endorsed by Dr. Eva Selhub, a Harvard medical doctor, studied for many years, ran their wellness center. Plug this in, your life will get better. Visit AdvancedLiving.com, and especially after the middle of the week when we get our new website up that is going to be a million times better. Now for the treat. Talk about a new website. That's birthing. Well, what about today? What if we're getting ready to birth into a new life for our next year? Well, that's pretty exciting. Well, guess what? What if we could actually have a pathway for peace on earth? Yeah, you think, well, sure, you know, we talk about it. We won't get there. Well, get ready for a treat today that is just going to rock your socks. You're going to love this woman, Elena Tanetti Vladimirova. Oh my gosh, she is wonderful. She is traveling the world. She is one of the co-founders of the Conscious Birth Movement in Russia back since 1982. And she is the director and producer of, get ready for this, Birth as We Know It. Yes, and she's an award-winning documentary maker, and this movie, when you go to her website and you see this thing, I've had the privilege of seeing it. Oh, touch your heart. Talk about beauty that you can't even imagine. And yes, you may cry, you may laugh, you may go through everything. It's just so beautiful. And in the 3 years since it was released, her movie is now sold in 56 countries. And without any marketing or advertising, just because people are hearing about how beautiful her training and her techniques are. It's translated into 12 languages, and it's now becoming mandatory curriculum in every medical school and university in the country of Iran. And hopefully it'll spread like an epidemic to where every medical school throughout the world wakes up to the beauty she has to share. And she travels teaching of course, the movie Birth as We Know It, and then teaching what we call Birth into Being workshops that can often lead to ecstatic birth experiences for both partners. And, oh, man, yes, the woman has some amazing part of it, but to have that be a bonding for the couple and ecstatic for both, as well as the new baby, oh, you can see her intense schedule, because she travels all the time, www.birthintobeing.com. And she had her first formal training in Russia at the College of Arts as an actor. And she moved on to become a midwife and organizing birth camps at the Black Sea, where women are giving birth in nature, in warm, shallow lagoons. Doesn't that sound great? Wouldn't we all like to have been born that way? And at the same time, since 1986, she's worked as a facilitator in business seminars called GAMES, an extremely effective technology of bringing economic changes to the USSR. Wow. And at the same time, talk about, you know, how many of this one woman are there? She was one of the key players in citizen diplomacy. It's a wonderful underground political organization with the purpose of putting an end to the Cold War. So, folks, get ready. Elena, welcome aboard.
My pleasure. When you put it like that, I want to meet this woman. Where
yes,
is she?
Exactly. Exactly. It's my pleasure to honor the beauty of what you're doing and how fabulous it is, and to just have you and my listeners going, wow, I got to listen to this. Now, this birth into being, we just want to know, because I'm guessing, you know, he talks about the quality of our formative period, how that's affecting our life. Well, you know, formative period, we talked about that, you know, as youngsters, but you're taking formative period to a whole other level, aren't you?
Yep. Well, I'm just taking to another level talking about it. It's been there, you know. We are all affected from the moment we were conceived, including the moment of conception. But actually, the latest studies in neurobiology are showing us that our limbic imprint starts a couple of months before conception, because everything the father and the mother are doing, eating, thinking, not thinking, is affecting the quality of the sperm and an egg for them to come to that moment of meeting each other and recognizing each other and falling in love with each other or not. So there is a big debate, you know, where do we start?
Wow. Okay. So this is to me the beauty of what women have been trying to share in different ways. Ambience. Yes, we're going to have a fabulous meal, and not just that, but what about the room that it's being served in? What's the table look like? What's the room look like? And so you're talking about setting the stage before conception.
Exactly. And don't forget, what am I going to wear? basically everything plays into what's coming. Our present defines our future. And we still have to make that decision. Where do we start? Where do we start if everything is in such a continuum and such interdependency? Well, I think we need to start with educating young people today about importance of being a sensuous, sexual, creative being. That we're not only about what kind of job we're going to take and how much money we will make. It's about teaching young girls to be women and teaching young boys to be men. Mm. We lost the traditional initiation into adulthood. Our civilization doesn't have that moment of marking the territory, that's when a girl becomes ready to have a child. You know, like in traditional tribes, for example, boys would be taken through some kind of rite of passage that would allow them to be initiated into a person who is now has the right to mate and take a wife and create a child. And most of those rituals, as far as I looked, and I looked, they're pretty severe. For example, the boys would be put on the floating device, and they would be supposed to float down the river until the second sunset. And only then they can disembark and find their way back to the village, through the jungle, through the other unfriendly villages, through, you know, with only what they can carry on their backs. And half of them would not make it.
Wow.
So it was sort of a natural selection that those who made it back to the village had what it takes. Here is the moment. They had what it takes. They were smart enough. They were strong, skillful, intuitive enough to find their way back. And then they had the right to have the next generation to create a child. I am not saying that we should...
All right, everybody, take the kids to the river.
Exactly. Nobody is going to do that. But there has to be some kind of new form, some intelligent form of initiating a young person into adulthood, into parenthood. Having a child is probably the most challenging. It's the biggest work there is, really. If anybody has a child, they're trying to do a good job with it. They can tell you that it's the most rewarding but the most challenging task they've ever had. And we have to go to school or you know, have a test to be allowed to drive. Having a child is much more complex activity. So we as a society don't have any kind of preparation for it, and this is where we are right now, because most of the women in the world right now, when they find out that they're pregnant, they just schedule elective C-section. You know, extract this baby mechanically out of my body, I don't want to be there, just do something to slice me open, pull it out, and wake me up then after it's over. And statistics are terrifying, because it's up to 95% in some countries.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
So this has been just increasing, increasing.
It's increasing, increasing, and increasing. And the main problem is that very, very few people are talking about really severe side effects. It's a major abdominal surgery that has a lot of complications and problems, especially emotional and psychological complications for the baby.
Oh.
Because there is so much that is happening when a baby is born naturally and goes through the birth canal, to just that is already a rite of passage. It is an initiation that activates a lot of systems in the body.
Yeah.
So if the baby is not going through this initiation, those systems are not being activated.
Now, I don't know if you've heard this story, but this may be helpful. There was two butterflies.
Oh, that's in my movie.
Yes.
That story is in my movie.
Oh, good. Well, please, would you share that? Because, you know, that's so important about the subject that you're talking about.
The
birthing
process.
Yeah, well,
that's the exact metaphor that I used to explain the side effects of C-section. If we slice the cocoon and scoop the butterfly out, she would not be able to fly, because the struggle of getting out of the cocoon that's what pumps the fluids into the wings and allows the butterfly to be alive. And without that struggle, because the major trigger was not activated, then it's going to be lunch for the next bird.
Yeah.
Now, and basically, a lot of it happens with humans. There is a very, very important digestive and breathing functions and the very, very emotional, psychologically based attribute that is not being accounted for in the field of medicine. In normal human mentality, it's called zest for life.
Mm.
It's called self-motivation. These are very, very important attributes of what makes us humans. And they are, they mostly remain dormant. And I'm saying mostly because we're not just biology and we're not just mammals. We also have the soul and the spirit, and the evolved spirit will have what it takes to overcome that trauma, that birth trauma, when instead of activating all the very complex hormonal dialogue in the baby's body, in the baby's brain, and creating all the necessary steps and movements to get out of the mother. So that's what activates the zest for life chemistry.
Wow.
So when it's not being activated, there is this sit back and watch kind of attitude.
Ah, and what I'm wondering about, so that you can help our listeners to understand, we know, you know, here's a baby being born and parents, they do all kinds of things. Let's fix up a room and let's make ready for the baby. And yet, if I'm understanding some of the things you could share with us, some of the birthing process and the welcoming of the child would almost be like someone showing up for a new job, and they walk in the door, and the first thing that happens is someone slaps them around and gives them a bunch of drugs so that they can't think straight, and that's their welcome to the new job. Who would want that kind of work?
Exactly. And that's the thing, that until recently, it was believed that the baby doesn't feel anything. It actually is in writing in medical Bible, that babies are not feeling anything, that whatever they're cringing or crying, that it's their reflexes. And in spite of all the undoubtedly proven research that not only babies feel and sense, and that their sensory apparatus is completely wired and on halfway through pregnancy, but they are also about 150 times more sensitive than we are. So when we create that sensory overload that is absolutely shocking, staggering for babies, we violate their human rights. It is experienced as a major, major shock and trauma. Even just rough handling and loud noises and bright lights, never mind cutting babies and sticking needles in them, and especially things like circumcision, that's a major assault, because that tiny piece of skin contains 20,000 specific erogenous nerve endings designed for pleasure. That is the organ in the body that somebody's trying to call me, that allows a man to know pleasure and to know where his sexual partner is in regards with experiencing pleasure. It's a very, very different electrical circuitry when the male organ is intact.
So can we have that replaced in case we've had it removed?
Well, if you will cut your fingers or your eyelids, Can you replace that?
Oh, I haven't been able to lately. So I guess what that means is, to me, let's stop doing that to babies.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And baby does not understand that parents or doctors think that it's better for them. They just experience the excruciating pain, and they go into the shock that causes basically a lifelong numbness in the place where pleasure is supposed to be.
Huh. Now, I don't know, originally, and I don't know when it started for sure, but I thought that biblically it was a part of something to differentiate some of the lineage of Abraham and told by God as a thing for cleanliness.
Well, I actually looked into it, and it started in Africa in tribes of branding slaves and soldiers. And then later in Egypt, that was also the way of branding slaves, who were, of course, Jewish people. And I asked a Israeli rabbi who knows 23 dead languages. I asked him to go and research and tell me what would be the closest translations of the exact words that were recommending circumcision in Torah on those plates, not in the latest interpretations and translations. I wanted to know what did the templates actually say. And it took him 3 months to try to find something. And he finally wrote back to me that the closest thing he found in the original text that mentioned foreskin was this sentence that could be the closest translation of the sentence would be, remove the foreskins from your heart.
Oh.
There was absolutely not a word that he could find that says anything about amputation of the penis.
Well, you just had to remove something from somewhere.
There was absolutely not a word about it.
No. I'm just joking around about confusion.
It only appeared centuries later in translations and interpretations by a highly esteemed gathering of Jewish leaders that this became mandatory. Mm-hmm. And there is actually a very strong movement right now. It's called Jewish Women Against Circumcision. They understand how it is affecting the ability of young boy to bond with the mother and experience the safety of being in the body.
Yes.
Because it is the most torturous assault. There is absolutely nothing in the body as sensitive as that part of the foreskin.
And there's no anesthetic or anything given.
No,
the baby
no.
feels it fully.
Right. When it's being slowly cut off without anesthesia, it's just... the baby doesn't understand that excruciating pain is going to stop in a minute or two or three, and that it's good for the baby, and that the parents think that God told somebody who told somebody who told somebody who told somebody that God said something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because God didn't tell anybody directly.
Yes.
And I think that whatever created us put that piece in there in the first place. So why would it want to remove it?
Exactly. It wasn't like there were some extra parts laying around in the bin and said, okay, here, stick this on the human.
Right.
No, it's there for a reason.
It's there for a very good reason, and basically pleasure is is a very good reason, because lots of our systems that function well in the environment of well-being and pleasure is the most important ingredient of our well-being. That's a very interesting point, because the pleasure creates a flood of oxytocin into our bloodstream that promotes harmonizing of all of the systems working in the body.
Mm.
Yeah, it's, for example, when a pregnant woman is asking me, what is the most important thing I need to do? I am saying, you know, your homework is pleasure. Because when the pregnant woman's body is flooded with oxytocin, then the baby's body is being built perfectly well. Everything is happening in the right order, right on time. Everything is just unfolding in its own divine order. But when she generates an injection of stress hormone into the bloodstream, that building process goes on pause. It sort of stops and thinks, what are we doing now? There is that fight or flight moment of evaluating the situation. How bad is it? You know,
yeah.
We as mammals have this thing. When adrenaline's kick in, we need to know whether we are endangered. So all the blood and all the attention goes into this flight and fight. It's not the time to build the new body. So if that happens during pregnancy once or twice, some insignificant amount of time, the pause goes off pretty soon and the building keeps going. But if there is a critical mass of the stress hormone, then the process of building of baby's body starts skipping parts.
Mm.
It just starts going over. Okay, we were supposed to be building this now, but we're still doing something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, so if we get so busy with so many tasks to do, then, oh, wait, I forgot to do this. I forgot to do that.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's when the complications start. So what I'm saying is that if during pregnancy we promote the deep, deep, deep sense of well-being, and there is no interruptions and no intervention into this most magical shamanic experience of creating something that did not exist before, then everything is just unfolding beautifully the way it's designed by whatever designed this process. It's every species has the ability to procreate, including humans. But the problem is that we're disowning it more and more and more. Actually, it is much bigger problem than it looks at the first sight, because a woman knows how to give birth by simply being born. So if she was not born well, then her body doesn't really know. It became a blind spot. That's why most of the women now want to have C-section, because their own birth isn't a blind spot. They were drugged or pulled out with forceps or C-section or whatever it was that happened to them, did not allow their body to know how to give birth.
Wow.
So they, and then on top, of course, we see all the horror scenes in the media, in TV, in the soap operas, in the sex ed classes in school, where they show the most disgusting, gruesome, bloody, terrifying births that they can possibly find.
Yeah, that helps cheer a woman up.
Right.
Oh.
So with that kind of information that they're being bombarded, I read one statistics that by the time a woman is giving birth to her first child, she was exposed to about 60 horrible, horrible scenes in mass media. And that's basically the only information she has. If she was not exposed to some other positive images,
yeah,
how else she's supposed to know that birth is supposed to be the highest high she can ever experience?
Yes.
Because nature, our design, our neurobiology implies the massive production of oxytocin and other kinds of dopamines when the baby is ready to come out. We're supposed to start generating massive amounts of amino acids that create the extreme looseness and flexibility and elasticity of all the tissues that's supposed to open up and let the baby out. See, that's the thing, that it's not like watching a German Shepherd coming in through the cat door. It's not a fixed size of the opening. it's a very soft material that can stretch and open. So, and I'm not saying that that it's easy. There is a moment in every first birth when a woman comes to a point of true rite of passage, of true initiation, that she does not know if she's going to survive, because she doesn't. How is she supposed to know if she never did it before?
Right.
It really takes her into the depth that she never knew she had.
Huh. Wow. Now, when you talk about rites of passage, to me, what's so interesting, how can we, as human beings, open our eyes to this kind of information? For instance, the act of firewalking. You may have heard of that, where you can put hot coals. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's about opening up to this concept that, yes, you can walk across blazing hot coals that could burn you, and yet, with the right frame of mind, with the right circumstances, you can do that safely. And we see, I think of the example of some snakes that they show that can open their mouth so amazingly wide that they can swallow huge things. And so when you're saying, yes, when the body receives the right internal signals and the right beautiful chemicals of love, the oxytocins, that it can stretch and contort so that the passage of the baby for the woman can actually be pleasurable, not painful.
Yeah, absolutely. But that has to become a norm. That's something that young girls learn from their aunties and their mom, just by living in a tribe, as we are tribal mammals, you know, whether
yes,
we like it or not, and trying to get away from it as far as we can. But that's how we learn about creating the next generation. And if we don't, that's the problem. If we are, for example, cut off from ability to access the surgery room when it's time to give birth, then what's going to happen? And I know that a lot of people are talking about going off the grid, and that weather changes and waterizing, whatever is weather cataclysms are going to bring. If we are not learning how to procreate right now, we will be down to 5% in one generation. Because it's only about 5% of women now that can give birth without mechanical extraction of their babies' bodies out of them.
Wow, I had no idea that it was that huge. In terms of the percentage of women, and I'm excited to because of your work, where people can go visit. Now, there's two websites, right?
Yeah. One is for the film, birthaswenowit.com, and one is for my workshops and trainings. It's birthintobeing.com. And that's where I do my part to help people to neutralize their own birth trauma so they can keep going forward without having to sit in the cage of the limbic imprint. The limbic imprint is the same mechanism that, for example, allows the elephant to be used in a war on a work site. Because when the baby elephant is little and captured from the wild and put on a chain to a stick in a yard, the baby elephant would try to get away and couldn't because it's still a baby elephant. But then within a few months, it grows, and it is strong enough to pull that stick like a snap. It never tries again because it's completely programmed. There is basic settings in the elephant's nervous system that it's not possible.
Yes, then that's what you refer to as the limbic imprint.
Yes, it's the mechanism that allows a bird know how to be a bird, and a cat knows how to be a cat. That's basically information that is transmitted directly from the guardian of the species to the young of the species. When there is no verbal communication, there is no manual written about how to fly out of the nest. It's just by being in the presence of mama bird, a baby bird knows that it can fly soon.
Yes, and it sees, here's the mother and father birds flying away.
Right.
And it sees that repeatedly and,
right.
And this looks like a good idea.
Right. So if our basic settings are on very low and dim, and basically we're introduced to pain and suffering as our first experience of being in the body, then guess what happens? Mm. Our nervous system translates pain and suffering as a norm.
Ah, yeah. So it's like if your first job, they kicked you, then every other job, you'd expect to be kicked.
Yeah. Or those women whose fathers, for example, were alcoholics, we all know that they were very prone to attract one alcoholic boyfriend after another. And if you would ask them, why are you doing this? It's not good for you. And they say, I know it's not good, but I can't get away. That's what is.
And that's that, once again, that limbic imprint, this part that goes deep into our most primal part of our being.
Right. I actually have an article that is called Limbic Imprint on my site that anybody can go and read, where I have more time to explain how it works.
Sure. And that's on which of the sites? The
Birth into Being. I have a whole bunch of articles there, actually a lot of information, and including a 10-minute video clip to my movie and some video clips to my trainings and previous interviews with other themes and topics and hosts. So there is a lot of information, especially in my newsletters. I really love my newsletters. That's where my creativity in writing goes into. I have some really cool stuff in my monthly newsletters.
Ah, well, that's great. This is so important because you are now basically offering accurate information that had not been put forward for thousands of years.
I know, but it's been used for thousands of years.
Ah.
It's been used on elephants, horses, camels, circus bears, and people. We are denying it, and it's only now being put into writing and analyzed and given some terms like limbic imprint, but it's been used for thousands of years when it was known that when a baby is born into hardships of military or slavery, they will not attempt to get away. It takes a very evolved soul to try to break the spell of the basic settings that the nervous system is squished into.
Wow. Now,
it's the perfect crowd control to introduce pain into the delivery room.
Okay. Okay. So when we want to learn about more of this that we mentioned earlier, for instance, some birth camps at the Black Sea. Does it have, for instance, on either any of your sites, resources where people can find out in their community? Can you put in a zip code yet and go, oh, okay, I'm in zip code 80204. Who around me could help provide some of this information?
I wish. We're still on the ground floor with this.
Okay.
C-section rates are climbing high, and one country after another is banning home birth and making lay midwives illegal.
Wow.
It's really what it takes is for women to wake up and claim their birthright to create their children in love and grace and dignity.
Wow.
And as long as women are willing to give their power away, this is what's going on.
Huh. Well, this helps me to, one of the ways that I'm thinking about this in terms of, they say, 2012 and this apocalypse. And to me, this terrible thing, quote in quotes, may not be such a terrible thing, because with the kind of information you're bringing forward, what we would actually be doing is releasing this misinformation, and we're seeing, as you're saying, talking about the spreading of banning midwives and home births, it's like the last desperate hanging on to the old way, and the old way doesn't work. It's so painful.
Exactly. It all doesn't make any sense to keep doing it, and it's still being done all over the globe.
Yes. It's like, well, this is what we know. This must be right. I was taught this way.
Yeah, and I do believe that it's not, you know, doctors are not bad guys. This is just what they were taught. For example, I was speaking at the Congress, at the European Congress of Pre- and Perinatal Psychology and Health 2 years ago. And I was explaining that cutting the umbilical cord right away is a major assault on the baby's body, because there is still, in some research they say, half of the blood is still in the placenta that rightfully belongs to the baby that still needs to pump into the baby's body. Some research is saying it's up to two-thirds of all the blood supply is still in the placenta when they clamp the cord and cut the placenta. But on top of depriving a baby of this most vital, life-sustaining substance, you know, blood, on top of it, the lungs are not ready to take that first breath. They will need a few minutes to drain the fluids, you know, the baby was in amniotic fluids inside the mother's belly, so when they do this rough suction, which is also a major assault, imagine somebody would come to you without warning, without asking your permission, and jerk that plastic rubber thing up your nose really hard, you know, very fast, and this, it's so unreasonable to expect that something like that needs to be done in the first place. All you need to do is probably just, well, not probably, yes, that's what we were doing, just gently hold the baby's head down, and all that stuff will drain by itself. But the most importantly, they don't give a moment for the lungs to drain and open up and unfold slowly, gently. And when they cut the umbilical cord, the baby is forced to take that first breath in the most disrespectful, undignified, painful, that hurts like hell. That's just no need for that at all. Come on, wait for 5 minutes. What's the hurry? This baby has a whole life. Stop. Listen. Wait. Pay attention. There is no need to treat the baby like a piece of meat.
No, no. And I want to let everybody know, you sent me a copy of your DVD, and watching it, everybody, I encourage you to go and order the DVD on birthintobeing.com or the sister website of birthaswenowit.com. It not just touches your heart to watch this. I believe that watching this repeatedly, there's a healing in this. We are actually getting to see not just someone else having a beautiful birth, but for me, as I recall that, the tenderness, I'm looking at Birth Into Being and just seeing some of the pictures that are just on the home page, and it's like calls out to me, here's another way of being, here's another way. Oh, and it looks beautiful, and oh, it must feel so good. I think you could just, people watching the DVD are going to have a healing of a bunch of things.
Oh my goodness, I have hundreds of letters in my inbox just about exactly that. Well, first of all, there's almost 4 hours of material on this DVD. On the full feature, especially the director's commentary, is the main body of information. But just watching the footage, I have, for example, one mother wrote to me that she got it when she was pregnant and watched it, and then her 4-year-old, that the first child, started watching, asking for this movie every single morning for 2.5 months. And that girl, she told me the whole story of this troubled young lady who was born really badly in the hospital. It was just one of those really bad scenarios when everything that could go wrong went wrong. So her birth was less than blissful. So this little girl started asking for this movie, birth movie. Mommy, I want birth movie. And she watched for almost 2.5 months every single morning. And one morning she pushed the button as usual and started watching, and then she turned it off, turned around and said, this is the way I was born. Stomped her foot and walked away. She never asked for it again. But her mother said that she started sleeping through the night, stopped wetting her bed. She started eating very without struggle. It was just cheerful girl that was able to hold eye contact, was not hiding behind mother's leg when the stranger would walk in the room. She was just completely relaxed. Her drawings were bright and cheerful. There was no black and brown colors in her drawings anymore. It just became a happy child. She reprogrammed herself just by completely immersing herself into the energy of this ecstatic birth. She took it on herself. She just tried it on and tried it on and tried it on, and finally she made it her own. And that is exactly what I'm doing in my workshops. I am creating the situation where whoever comes into the group has the capacity to experience in the body being conceived in love and born and birthed into ecstasy. It's done in slightly altered state of mind. That's a little magic we do there.
Yes, that's those altered states there.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun to do.
Yeah.
And
the healing techniques that involve re-traumatizing a person by letting them relive their original birth trauma, I don't recommend to do it more than once. I know that there is techniques of rebirthing that people go through their original birth trauma dozens of times, and I noticed that it only reinforces that trauma. It doesn't really bring a whole lot of healing.
Yes, when I did a training recently, because I feel like for myself and many others, I've gone through life with so many unresolved things where there was grieving that didn't get done and an experience wasn't completed. And what was so nice was to be able to cry and feel some pain about an experience and then come to a place of resolution.
Exactly.
Where there was understanding and forgiveness, so that I could then walk away from it feeling, it's over, it's done.
Right, and that's a very, very important first step. But then what needs to happen is that your nervous system needs to have an experience of the reference point of what it would be like.
Yes,
to
exactly.
To actually experience in real time what you actually want.
Yes, this ecstatic experience of a wonderful, the mother and father in falling in love with each other, treating each other amazingly, deciding, yes, to have a baby, preparing and loving, and then the conception, all of this with enormous, wonderful love and great anticipation. Ah, I love it. And they can get the DVD from you and get some of that experience on a daily basis.
Amen. Hey, woman.
Hey, woman. A whole race of better people on the way.
Yeah, this is the main slogan I have on my website, that we can create heaven and earth in one generation by just changing the way we do people making here.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know as a child growing up, when I was going to be playing with other children, my mother would say to myself and the other, okay, now make nice with each other, was the expression, you know, or be nice, or you know, be play happy, be kind, different expressions like that. And you are taking this to the ultimate level of having this be a living part of our lives moment to moment, and especially carrying that forward, because who doesn't want to give the gift of a happy life to the next generation? We all do.
Right, right. And there is a difference, though, between be nice means learn to behave nicely in spite of all that pain and trauma you have inside of you, or actually be nice.
Yes, because, thank you. See, and that was coming from that place of, well, we expect things to be kind of messy and nasty because that's what we experienced, and so we want you to try to get past that. And you're saying, well, here, instead of be nice,
nice behavior and, you know, civilized, compassionate actions, instead of learning those nice behaviors, we can actually be it. Be kind and loving and sensuous and enjoying our life to its fullest potential.
Because that's what's going on inside of us. Because yes, that is, so the children born that way, or the adults that decide to get your DVD, going to birthintobeing.com or birthasweknowit.com, and then watch that. So yes, there's lots of information about how the children can be born beautifully, and of course, in the meantime, helping all of us adults to re-imprint to that beauty. This is fabulous. What a way to end the year and to start a new one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A couple more minutes. Did you have any more questions? Because I did all the talking. I didn't even give you a chance to ask me anything.
Well, my hope is that in this time, as we wrap up, Elena, that we have covered things. They're giving people a chance to get a bit of a flavor of what they can anticipate by interacting with you at your website or your trainings. And they can go on all over the world, Singapore, Thailand, Melbourne, different parts of the U.S., Los Angeles, you name it, Salt Lake City. My gosh, the Mormons are going to start doing this.
They are asking me. I am not, even thinking about where should I go. It's just where people are asking me, that's where I go.
Yes.
And so, groups are filling very fast. I am actually in awe to just, when I put a new location on the calendar, the registrations are just pouring in. It's quite astonishing to me, because I never did any marketing or advertising, and I just don't have energy for it to promote
right.
myself.
And we would like to submit your name for the top of the list for cloning, because I think I'd like about 50 or 100 of you out there.
Please, pretty please. I so could use an
exactly.
Extra. And if there is anybody out there listening, please help spreading the word. Please come help me here. I really could use about 100 spare hands. It's a big project to bring heaven to earth. This
yes,
is what we're doing
this
here.
This is a beautiful pathway. I will look forward, I'd like to have you on the show again to follow up and get more details about the birth camps and, you know, and other things in the process.
Yeah,
because
that's
we
the
covered,
thing. We just scratched the surface, really.
Yeah,
right.
And so I will, you know, check in with you and do that. And for today, it's, my God, time to wrap it up, and I'm thirsting for more. So that's the way it should be. Thank you so much, Elena, for being on the program. Thank you, beloved listeners, for tuning in to Advanced Living Radio and visiting advancedliving.com. I so appreciate that, and just wish you all a happy, loving holiday season and a birth into an amazing 2010.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, and until we meet again, God bless you, and goodbye for now.
Let go!